We now come to the last step in God's steps to wholeness. This is the eighth step, and it's about helping other people. Once you're on the road to recovery, God wants to use you to help other people. That's one of the characteristics of recovery, that you begin to help others. See, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to help other people. If that were true, nobody would get helped, because none of us are perfect. Nobody has it all together. Everyone has faults and failures and problems. In fact, you don't have to have it all together in your own life. You just have to be headed in the right direction. If you're one step ahead of someone else in your growth, you're a leader. You only have to be one step ahead of the person who is behind you. The last step in Jesus Christ's Beatitudes and the recovery process of becoming whole is yield yourself to God, to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. I'd like to read that passage from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And the last beatitude that Jesus gave us that we're looking at this morning is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That last step is based upon 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. I want to read that whole passage for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or chapter 1 rather, beginning at verse 3. Where we read, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance and the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. The New Living Translation takes two of those verses I'd like to read for you from verses 4 and 6. God comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit so we can be an encouragement to you. Father, as we look to your word this morning, we pray that you will speak to us by your Spirit, and that you, dear Father, will be praised as we seek to be used by you to bring comfort to others who are going through difficulties with the same comfort that you give to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of our problems in life are for the good of other people. Did you get that? Many of our problems in life, that we face are for the good of other people. Many heartaches and pains and difficulties that we personally go through are there for other people's benefit. God wants to take you through that problem and then give you a ministry, an ability, a perspective from which you can help other people through the very things that you've been going through. The way God comforts you, and He wants you to turn around and help other people in the same way. I've read that one way to know that you've recovered, when you know that you're emotionally and spiritually healthy, is when you stop focusing on yourself and you start focusing on other people. You want to help others. In fact, if all you can think about is your own problems, if all you can think about is your own stress, your own difficulty, you're not thinking about helping other people. You're just thinking about helping yourself. How can I get rid of this pain? How can I get rid of my problems and this stress? Well, you're not there yet, if that's the case. You're still on the road to recovery, and that's okay, but you need to recover. And the way that you know that you're an emotionally healthy person is you start thinking about other people and how you can help them. Let me give you some facts about pain. Number one, there's no such thing as a pain-free life. Really? Yeah. No such thing as a pain-free life. As long as you're on this planet, you will have emotional pain, physical pain, relational pain in many different ways. This is not heaven. Heaven is pain-free. This is earth. So you will always have some sort of pain the rest of your life here. Surprised? Number two is there is a purpose behind your pain. God always uses your pain for a purpose. God wants to do a number of things in your life through it. God never wastes a hurt in His children. He wants to use it in your life to help other people. Number three is your greatest contribution in this world. Your greatest ministry, your greatest service will not be through your strengths. It'll be through your pain, through your difficulties. You share your weaknesses and your difficulties. Why? Because people don't necessarily get helped by your strengths. When I see a multi-talented person out there, I think, well, that's good for them, but that sure doesn't help me much. A multi-gifted person really doesn't make me feel good about myself. But when I meet someone who says, I went through this pain, and God helped me through it, then I think, well, maybe I can make it. Maybe I can get through this too. Maybe God will help me in the same way if I trust Him. Then I'll end up helping other people just like this person has helped me. Who can better help someone who's going through the pain of a divorce than someone who's faced that pain themselves? Who can better help someone who's lost all of their financial security and has suffered bankruptcy than someone who has lost their money and has gone bankrupt? Who can better help the parents of a special needs child than another parent of a special needs child? Who can better help someone who is facing cancer than someone who also faced cancer? That which you least like to talk about, maybe you're more embarrassed about it, you don't even want to think about, maybe the very thing that God wants to use in your life to help and encourage other people. God never wastes a hurt. Today and next week, we'll talk about how God can use the experiences, the problems, the difficulties that you're going through. I hope you won't waste those pains, that you'll allow God to use them to help other people. Because here's the amazing thing. When you start focusing on helping others, God assumes responsibility for the healing in your life. He'll take you to a deeper level. We'll talk about four ways to do that. We've been talking for many weeks about how to get healthy emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially, in every area. And the eighth step is God wants to use you to bring healing to other people. God wants to use you to bring healing to other people. How does He do it? Well, it's when you share things that happen to you. Specifically, God will use you if you're willing to honestly share four things. Honestly share four things. God will use your experiences if you will tell others, number one, how pain got your attention. Has pain ever gotten your attention? I'll bet. It's a great attention getter. Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. I'm glad not because you got hurt, but because that pain turned you towards God. God uses pain in your life for many different purposes. He uses pain to direct us, to help us know which way to go. God uses pain to correct us. It shows us what's wrong in our life. God uses pain to perfect us. It helps us to become more and more like Jesus and to build Christ-like character within us. God uses pain to protect us. Protect us. Sometimes He allows a problem in our lives to protect us from the bigger problem that would develop into a far worse situation. God uses pain to inspect us, to show us what we're really like deep down inside. But God uses pain to get our attention more than anything else. You never had physical pain, you'd never know anything was wrong with your body. So you need pain to tell you that there is something that's wrong and needs attention. If you never had emotional or relational pain, you'd never know something was wrong in a relationship. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So most of all, God uses pain to get our attention. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasure. But He shouts to us in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone. It's God's wake-up call. When there's pain of any kind in your life, God is saying, hello, may I have your attention? Something is wrong in a relationship or in your finances or in your physical health, whatever. God is saying, I need you to wake up. It's a warning light on our dash. This is so important because we rarely change until we see or feel the pain. We're so afraid of changing that we seldom change until our fear of change is exceeded by our pain. And all of a sudden, when we have more pain than we have fear, we start changing. We rarely change until we get desperate enough. We postpone very difficult decisions. We just put them off. Even though it's important, it's difficult to make. So we just keep putting them off. We pretend that it's not really much of a problem. Or we ignore a problem until it reaches the crisis stage. We put it off. Some people, and excuse me, Denny, for using this illustration, but some people put up with a toothache until the prospect is of going to the dentist is more tolerable than the tooth pain. That happened to you? Jesus told the story about the son who blew his inheritance, who so messed up his life that he ended up feeding pigs for a living. Now, he was a Jewish boy, and pigs were just, they didn't deal with pigs, they didn't eat pigs, but this boy was so desperate, he ended up feeding pigs for a living. The Bible says that in that pigsty, he came to his senses. Isn't that typical? Sometimes God has to put us flat on our backs to force us to look up to him. And then he finally gets our attention. In the Old Testament, there's the story of when King Ahab was trying to kill the prophet Elijah. God led Elijah to a brook where God provided all the food and the water that Elijah needed. One day, however, the brook dried up. Elijah could have turned angry with God. What are you doing, God? Don't you love me anymore? Don't you care about me? I need water to live. You let the brook dry up. Don't you love me anymore? God allowed the brook to dry up because he wanted Elijah to leave that area and to go help someone else who was in desperate need. Has the brook ever dried up in your life? Maybe it was an emotional stream that was refreshing and wonderful and satisfying, and all of a sudden, bam, it's gone. You don't get joy out of it anymore. Has your relational brook dried up? People you were depending on to help you, all of a sudden, aren't there anymore. The brook dried up. God is trying to get your attention. God is saying, I'm using pain to get your attention. If you want to be used by God, if you don't want to waste those hard times you've gone through, but to help those things be used to help other people, then there is one qualification. You've got to be real. You've got to be honest. You've got to be authentic about your pain. You can't airbrush your problems. You've got to be real about your hurts, about the habits and the hang-ups and the pain that you've experienced. You see, if you can't be honest about yourself, you can't help anyone. If you want to be a good example of this, consider the Apostle Paul. Paul was so gut-level honest. He even wrote down his fears and his faults and his failures, and we read them still today in the Bible 2,000 years later. The five things you need to share if you're going to make an impact on people's lives are the five things that the Apostle Paul shared with us. If I want to use my experiences to help others, A, I need to be open about my feelings. Paul says, we have spoken freely to you and opened wide our hearts to you. Paul says, we've shared our feelings. We're not hiding anything. We cannot be emotionally distant and help people. We must share what we really feel. And guys, I know this is hard for us, but we need to do that. And B is be humble about my faults. Be humble about my faults. Paul says in Galatians, each of us must bear the faults and burdens of his own, for none of us is perfect. We all know that, but we also pretend that maybe we're the only one who's perfect. We want to hide our feelings. We want to hide our faults. We don't want anyone to get too close to us. Paul says if you want to make an impact, you've got to be humble about your faults. And C is be candid about my failures. Be candid about my failures. Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul said that about himself. That's pretty frank. In fact, elsewhere, he admits that he was in on a murder, the stoning of Stephen. He admitted he didn't deserve any of God's grace. He's candid about his failures. And then be honest about my frustrations. Be honest about my frustrations. A lot of life is frustrating, isn't it? You ask, how are you doing? And what's the response? Oh, I'm doing great. Or just fine. No, you're not. You're frustrated. Why don't you just admit it? Paul said, I have the desire to do what is right, but I cannot carry it out. I keep on doing the evil I don't want to do. And I know that I end up not doing. All the things I know that are healthy for me, I end up not doing. And all the things that are unhealthy for me, I end up doing. That's frustrating. If you've never had that frustration, there's a word for you. It starts with an L, it ends in an R, and there's two little letters in between. Figure it out. Letters are IA. Because every one of us have had frustration doing things that we know are unhealthy for us. We did them anyway, and not doing things that we knew were right and good and healthy for us, we just do them. Be honest about my frustrations. And then be frank about my fears. Be frank about my fears. Paul was even honest about this. He says in 2 Corinthians, as the Message paraphrase puts it, I do admit that I have fears. That when I come to you, you'll disappoint me, and I'll disappoint you. And in frustration with each other, everything falls to pieces. He's just being gut-level honest. Don't waste your pain. So how do you do it? Well, the first thing we've been looking at is tell how pain got your attention. The very thing that you most regret in your life, God wants to use. He wants to use it to encourage and help other people. So first we have to share how pain got your attention. But secondly, tell the lessons you've learned. What did you learn from your pain? What did you learn from your mistakes? What did you learn from the hurt that you suffered? You look for lessons that you can pass on to other people. Lessons that you have learned. We've all heard it said, wisdom learns from experience, and that's true. You ought to learn from the experiences of life. Don't waste your experiences. But let me tell you how to be even wiser. It's wise to learn through experience, but it's even wiser to learn from the experiences of others. Life is too short to make all the mistakes myself. So while it's good to learn from experience, it's even wiser to learn from the experiences of other people. You can save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of wasted time, and certainly a lot of wasted money if you learn from the experiences of other people. It's one of the reasons why the church is so important. As we gather together and we share with one another what's happened in our lives, we share the pain, we share what we have learned from these things. That's what the church is all about. We get together and share with one another. There are people who have already gone through what you might be facing right now, and they can help you if you'll listen to them. You've already gone through some things that others are experiencing right now, and God wants you to help them. He wants to use your pain to help them. We all go through different kinds of pain and different kinds of trouble. There are three things that God wants you to learn from your pain. Number one, learn to depend on God when you are in pain. Learn to depend on God when you're in pain. Learning to depend on God is one of the very first things that God wants to teach you through troubled times. Someone once said, "You don't know that God is all you need until God is all you've got." There are times in life when life kicks the supports out from under us. And all your backup systems disappear. The people, the things, the events, the habit patterns you have always depended upon are not there. All of a sudden, all you have left in life is God. And that's where you learn that God is all you need. God wants to teach us that He can be depended upon in every situation that we face. You learn to look to God when there's nothing else to depend on. And He gets you through that situation. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 1, "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, and He will deliver us." The Message paraphrase reads that like this: "We were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and He did help us." God wants to teach us about Himself, that He is loving, that He is caring, that He is honest. He's just. He's dependable. He's loyal. God can be counted on. He's wise. He's fair. He wants to teach you about Himself. And He'll take you through appropriate situations so you can learn that about Him. The second thing is learn to obey God's word. Learn to obey God's word. Learn to depend on God. Learn to obey God's word. It took me a long time, but I've learned when I do it the way that God tells me to do it, that it always works out. When I do it the way God tells me to do it, when I do it my own way and not His way, it always messes me up. When I try to fix a relationship the way I think it ought to be fixed, and I ignore God's relationship principles, I just make the relationship worse. On the other hand, when I let God fix the relationship and I respond the way that God wants me to, it always works out better. That's just good sense. I've learned to believe that God knows a whole lot more than I do. God wrote the owner's manual for life, and when I do it His way, things are so much simpler. They're a whole lot less painful and a whole lot more rewarding. I've learned to obey His word. David says in Psalm 119, verses 71 and 72, it was the best thing that could have happened to me, talking about a problem he went through, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Life is a school, and problems are the curriculum. Let me say that again. Life is a school, and problems are the curriculum. I don't know why it is, but in human behavior and human nature, there are some lessons that we only learn through failure. Every child in America has probably been told once while growing up, don't touch the hot stove. But they touch it anyway, don't they? Yep. But you only have to be burned once, and you don't touch it anymore. You can tell teenagers, don't do that. It'll cause you heartache. But they do it anyway, and they experience the heartache. But they learn from it. It's so much wiser and so much less painful to learn from the experiences of others. And we're going to look more at more of that next week. Dear Father, I've no doubt that there are people here right now who are in a lot of pain. Tears come easily because they're so close to the surface. Thank you for bringing them here today. Help us all to realize that you are with us. Thank you for loving us enough to get our attention. Bring good out of the difficult and the bad in our lives. Help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn. Help us to learn to totally depend on you, Lord, to follow your word, your instructions for us, to become all that you made us to become. Use us to help other people. Thank you that you will always be with us. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, for any that know they need to follow you, that they will make that commitment here this morning. Lord, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Help me to become what you have created me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.